His peace be with us this morning and forever henceforth. Amen. I've got all kinds of pieces of paper in my Bible, things that I've jotted down, things that I've thought of, things that I've come across, and every once in a while one of them will talk to me. The text this morning, I'd like to read from the fourth chapter of Philippians, but this paper that I ran across was in relations to Romans 3:28. But I started looking at the last two verses of chapter 3 and started tying them in with what I had written down here. And I'd like to read the last two verses, 20 and 21 of chapter 3, in Jesus' name. For our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. How is that possible? How is it possible? Well, these things that I wrote down apply to our spiritual life. And it's a list of things of faith. The heading on it was Faith Alone Saves Us. But the first thing is, it says faith eliminates the pride of human effort, because faith is not a deed that we do. And it's something that's given to us. It's provided to us. It's provided to us through our Savior Christ Jesus. Faith exalts what God has done, not what people do. Faith admits that we can't keep the law or measure up to God's standards. We need help. And finally, faith is based on our relationship with God, not our performance for God. Faith is so important in a Christian's life, and without it, we have nothing. We have no hope. So by having that faith, what can we count on? Maybe I could say it that way. Or something that, what do we depend on? We depend on the faith, but what is the result of it? And the last part of that verse, the 21st verse, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Imagine that. Think about that for a moment. Our bodies, what we see here right now, is not going to be there. But it be fashioned as like unto his glorious body. However that is, I have no idea what it's going to be like, nor does anyone else, or at least anyone living on this earth. And according to the working whereby he he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That is what we can count on. Now, he goes on now in chapter 4, and I'll read from verse 1 through verse 9. I had been going to a little longer, but I'm just going to go to there. Chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 9, in Jesus' name. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, and I know I'm not pronouncing these right, but that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through these words, that, Father, they would be planted in our hearts, and that, Lord, as we leave here, we could feast upon them and be reminded of them, be reminded of that great love and compassion that you have for us. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The latter part of that first verse, so stand fast in the Lord. What is he saying? Focus your attention. Focus your attention on Christ, which is what we need to do every single moment of every single day. Focus our attention on him. When we read in the eighth verse, those are the things of Christ. Those are the things that Christ would have us focus on, pay attention to, and live according to. Because that's how he lived. And we are to emulate him. It's awful hard to do, I know, and I understand that. But the point is that because of God's grace, and because of Christ taking my place on that cross, and because of Christ being risen on that third day, I have that hope. I have that hope of eternal life because I believe and trust in him. And I have faith that what he is going to do for me on that last day is going to be so much more glorious than anything I could ever even try to do upon this earth. And that holds true for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter who we are, what we have done. If we believe and trust in Christ and have that faith to know what he and to understand what he did for us, we are saved. Our sins are forgiven. They're forgiven through his precious blood. And that faith that he gives to us is not something to be taken lightly, but it is something to grab a hold of and cling to and cry out to God when we are faced with temptations. But Father, get me through this. Get me through what's going on. It says in verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Why? Because of what he has done for us. He loved us so much. God loves us so much that he came here in the form of his son because he knew we couldn't make it on our own. He knew that we could not do it ourselves. Rejoice in what he has done for us. Praise God that he has loved us so much that he gave himself for me. And I just often look at it that way. I look at it singular. I look at it for me, because it's me that I have to be concerned with. Am I concerned for others? Of course. You don't want anybody. I don't want anybody to have to not know who God is and who Christ is and what Christ has done. I don't want to go down that road. But first and foremost, it is my salvation. that is most important. And from there, I can encourage others. Encourage others to step up and believe and to trust. And to understand that because you believe and because you trust and because you have grabbed a hold of that which is offered, the shed blood of Christ, and repented of what you were. And the term repentance is just turning away from what you were. And because of that, you have that hope for eternal life. You have that hope of receiving that glorious body that He has prepared for each and every one of us in heaven. Let your moderation, or let your, I guess, the way you live, I guess is maybe one way of also saying it, be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. We don't go out and we don't snap and snarl and, well, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way, and this is the way you're going to be saved. No, it's love and compassion and understanding. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, it kind of, let's see, third chapter, chapter of the eighth verse, but I'm going to read a few more verses, maybe bear it down through verse 11. And this has somewhat to do with what we're facing today in the world. He says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, but willing, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation, or in living with fervent heat? We have to live according to God's rules and regulations. And His rules and regulations is have faith and to understand and have compassion. But we don't do that of ourselves. We can't do it of ourselves. And that's why when we walk in faith, that Holy Spirit is walking with us, guiding us, teaching us, and leading us in the way that we need to go. And in that leading, one day we will be with Him forever in glory. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He's getting closer. He's getting closer today than He's ever been. And He says, be not anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, be made known unto God. Regarding the term anxious, or it says be careful for nothing, which we can use the word anxious, there are things that happen in our life that we become pretty concerned with. And if we become too concerned, it starts to take over. And then, of course, comes the worry, and you know the whole route. But one of the things that I read made this statement. It says, God does not promise to change the situation that we're in. He doesn't promise to change that situation to the way we would like it to be, because we don't know what His plan is. But the one thing that He has promised us, He will give us and encourage us and give us the peace to get through it. ran across some verses, and I sent it out to several people. Sue's got it, and several people have got it, but it's something that I really got my attention. And it had to do with this particular verse. And it says, "Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered, 'Peace, be still.' He can settle any sea, but that doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms the child." Isn't that a precious thought? It doesn't matter what is going on in our life. God is in control of it. God is in complete, total control. There's nothing that goes on in our life or in the world, even over in Israel and Gaza right now with all the turmoil, God is in control of it. He's allowing it to happen, which he's allowed bad things to happen down through the historical, biblical history, I guess you might call it. He allowed it to happen. But yet, it is all in conjunction with his plan, because he is in full control. Mankind wants to control everything. And basically, all they do is make a mess out of things. He knows what's going on. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't that interesting? You view these things that are going on, and yes, there is a concern. Of course there is. We're human. I mean, that's part of our makeup. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding, there's nothing that takes place that God doesn't know about. And when he gives that peace, we don't understand it. But yet we know that he is indeed taking care of things. "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Or you could say that he shall guard your hearts and thoughts, because that's what happens to us. Our thoughts, a lot of times, will kind of get started, and then pretty soon they progress to another area, and then another one, and another one, and pretty soon we're way out in left field. God doesn't need that. He will keep us and he will guard us. But we have to constantly be praying to him that, "Father, keep us in that faith. Keep us on that path with that understanding that you are going to take care of us, that you are going to be able to see us through to the end, so that one day we will be with you." And then in that eighth verse, which really is, for me, it depicts on the type of life that a Christian should live and what his or her focus should be. "Whatsoever things are true," not fictitious, not what, well, you know what her, you know what so-and-so said? Or you know what I heard? No, put that stuff away. Put it aside. "Whatsoever things are true." What is true? God is truth. Christ is true. The Holy Spirit is true. So whatsoever things that are true, whatsoever things are honest, God is honest. Christ is honest. The Holy Spirit is honest. "Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of our good report." if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Look upon the things that God has given us. Look upon the things that God has provided and what he has done for your life. What he has done for you and what he has taken you away from in a previous time. And when you came into faith, thank and praise God for what he did for you. Think on those things. Don't go back to, oh, gee, this is what I used to be. And then Satan grabs a hold of that and then starts telling you you're not worthy because look at what you were. But that's the whole key. That's what I was. I am no more. What I was has been put aside. What I was has been forgiven. What I am is a child of God. And that's where I want to stay. I don't want to go back. I don't want to focus. I don't want to be part of what I at one time was. I am a child of God. Those things which you have both seen, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The Apostle Paul is not bragging here. The Apostle Paul is not in any way saying, look at me and live the way I live. That's not the point. That's not the point at all. But what he is saying is, what I have told you, what you have learned from me, what you have received of what I have told you, those are the things that you need to do. In 1 Corinthians 14, the 33rd verse, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God does not confuse, but he is the author of peace. We look at what's going on in this world and you wonder what? Where's it going to end? Why is it going to end? That really is not the thought that we need to have, although it happens. But the thought that we need to have is, Lord, you are in control, and you are allowing this. Comfort me, strengthen me, and allow me by faith to completely to continue to trust in you. And it's so important to be able to talk to others, and to be able to speak of these things, to speak about these things with one another, and draw encouragement and strength from one another. Yes, it's a tough time. Yes, it's going to get worse. The Bible says that. It will. It's going to get worse. But the point is that we have one another to lean on. We have one another to be strengthened by. We have one another to be encouraged with. And continue to do that and continue to look upon that. And trust in what God has done for us and what he is going to do for us. And that just kind of goes along with that verse 21 of the third chapter. That's the focus that we need. What he is going to do for us. And we can draw encouragement from that. We can draw strength from that. He has our best interest in heart. He has our best interest in mind. And as the 13th chapter of Hebrews says, I believe it's verse 5, he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's a wonderful promise. That's a promise that no one, not any type of an entity, could ever give other than God himself. I will never leave you nor forsake you, because you have come to me by faith. You have come to me through repentance and by faith. And because you believe and trust and acknowledge that your salvation is through that precious gift that I gave upon that cross. One day you will be with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you, Lord, for that precious promise that one day we will indeed be with you. Thank you, Father, that we will be able to look upon you and understand of your great love and compassion that you have for us. Now, Lord, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you could make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.